This is the third episode of what I'm calling Out of the HUD.
I love it.
And it's a pleasure to have my next guest here. I've seen you guys. I don't know if you remember me, but I was a barista back in the day. And when you first started your career in 2007, I believe, you were on Gordo y Flaca.
Yes.
My Spanish is pretty bad. and I'm sure you recognize their voice from their hit radio show. Or you've even seen them on The Amazing Race. This my next guest, Lulu Ilala.
Hey! Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming through. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I love how you super creative, out of the HUD. Because we are out of the HUD.
Yeah, of course. You know, what I wanted to do with this podcast is pretty much celebrate just what makes you Hudson County unique. And I think it's the people that come out of here.
Definitely.
And the things that we're doing, you know?
A lot of talent has come out of Hudson County. I think it doesn't get enough credit that it deserves.
That's what we're here trying to do. Make sure everyone, you know, gets their flowers, gets their credit, and let them know that, you know, the city's behind them and proud of them.
Yay!
Yeah. And I love following HUD posts.
I don't know, you guys find the most crazy things. I never knew how crazy Hudson County is.
Eccentric is a better word. Different.
Yeah. It's the people, you know, they were really out there when I first started HUD Post, and they were showing me, hey, I really wish this was on the news. And for me, when I was trying to start the news, it kind of felt offensive because I'm like, I'm putting it up here.
Yeah.
And the more people started to be receptive to, hey, you know what? HUD Post is putting up the stuff that's relevant to our lives.
Yeah.
It's just been growing ever since.
And the memes are so clever.
Oh, thank you.
With the potholes, I love
what it is. Oh, the Leonardo DiCaprio one. Yes, that's one of my favorite memes up there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. I feel like Hudson County is now being, you know,
there's
shown.
A light shining on Hudson County.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I think, you know, people like you are like in the forefront of letting, you know, the young generation know, hey, you could make it out the HUD.
That's right. You can make it. There is life outside of Hudson County.
Yeah. And you don't have to go far. Like, look at you guys. You are on national radio. You're on in New York and in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right here in North Bergen.
That's right. We don't have to go too far to be everywhere.
Exactly. So kind of, you know, bring me back to how this started, your break into the entertainment business, because I know you've done everything from radio, TV. I don't know if you've done a movie yet. Maybe I should have done my research. But
no. Okay. Well, I actually casted for a movie, but my mom made me turn it down because there was a sex scene.
Oh, no.
I still have the script at home just as a memory. But so basically how we started was we were dancers, right? Ballet, tap, jazz, flamenco, J&L Dance Center, you know, very Hudson County.
Yeah, definitely.
And so after we graduated high school, we graduated dance and we said, why don't we do something different? We know that world. We always liked to be in front of the TV. We would watch, you know, Selena do her thing. And so we're like, let's do TV and radio broadcasting.
Because we knew we wanted to do something in the entertainment field, but we didn't know what, whether it was dancing or acting or singing or radio or, you know, behind the scenes. We just didn't know what direction to go in.
So we decided to go to NJCU and take...
Pick up NJCU alumni over here.
Representing.
Gotham Knights.
And so we took TV and radio broadcasting, and that's where it all kind of, like, everything happened by mistake.
Jake. Yep.
That we were in the right place at the right time. And so in one of our production classes, we were doing this audio video. It was like a class project where you had to record something. It was like a mini movie. It was terrible what we shot. It was just so bad. But shout outs to La Sorrentina. Right. On 80th, because on 79th.
On 79th, they allowed us to film in there for our class project, which was a flop. And the teacher, I remember, pretty much called us out, telling us all of our mistakes. And then there was this guy in the back of the class who was an alumni of NJCU, and the teacher asked for his opinion.
His name was Carlos.
Carlos is actually our best friend. That's how we met. And I remember he gave his opinion.
And I wanted to strangle him.
It was horrible. I'm like, who is this guy criticizing us and not really helping us out? You know, I don't want to get an F on this project. He's not adding to it. But it happened for a reason, because after that, he was working for Comcast. And his boss said, hey, bring the twins over because I need them to, I'm going to see if I cast them to do like a mini entertainment segment for TUN, which is the university network, which was competing with MTVU. TVU.
At the time.
I don't even know if T1 still exists.
Me neither. So Carlos took us over, and his boss named Ruben said, hey, here's the film. Just look at it and like write a cute little review, and then we'll put you on camera and we'll see how that goes. It was nothing creepy either, you know? Yeah. You hear stories where there's a guy and there's a camera. It was nothing like
that. No, it was very professional. And so we went ahead and did that. And then I didn't think much of it. Left, went back to school. And then I want to say like maybe a week later,
Ruben calls me saying, hey, we're going to be flying you out to Los Angeles so you can do a press junket for V for Vendetta. The movie.
And this is the first time you're getting...
This is the first time that I'm like, what's a press junket? Like, what are you talking about? Me on a plane to LA by myself? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah.
I was jealous because I'm like, well, why can't you send us both? Yeah, well, yeah.
But she had done the audition first. So, you know, I was happy for her. I'm like, don't mess this up. This could be our big break. And so I land in LA and there's a bunch of...
Junketeers.
But these are people that are seasoned. We're talking about E! Entertainment, Access Hollywood, Extra, you know, media from all over the nation over here to interview these stars. And I'm here, you know, fresh out of college. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just winging it. But I didn't think much of it. I was like, well, let's just shoot from the hip and see how it goes.
Did it feel natural? Like while you were there, you were...
It did feel natural, but I could feel like the people that were more seasoned, like from Extra and for all these
Eyes on You,
they were kind of like, what is this like college student doing here? They didn't understand, but I just minded my business and I respected everybody. And then when I sat in, I was so nervous. I even forgot the actor's name. I remember just saying, I'm very nervous. I don't know what I'm doing, but let's
Why would you say that?
Because I wanted honesty, right? Isn't honesty
I wanted
the best
him humble, yeah. Yeah, so he started laughing and he's like, no, we're going to have fun. Don't worry about it. I'm nervous too. I don't know what you're going to ask me. So when he said that, I was like, oh, they're nervous because I'm kind of the one in control of this interview. It didn't click to me. Yeah. And so that's how it started. And then after that, it was on. Constant press junket every weekend.
And then for me, Ruben, which was a producer, he ended up sending me to the red carpets. So she would do the press junkets before the movie came out. And then once the movie premiered, I would be the one to be doing the red carpets, which was pretty awesome. Again, here I am with, you know, E! Entertainment, Extra, all these seasoned media correspondents, and I'm trying to fight my way to get my mic out there and trying to get the artist attention because, you know, they'll skip you if you're not a big they'll skip company, you. they'll just keep walking or the publicist will be like, nah, keep going. So I really had to like throw myself out there.
Were there any tips or tricks or like that you had learned during that time?
You gotta be aggressive. Be friendly, but you have to be aggressive because if not, you're just gonna stay in the back and nobody's gonna see you.
Exactly. And then at the same time, so we were working full time at Lowe's Home Improvement.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. We're very handy around the house.
That's true.
We were going to school full time.
What section?
I was team lead in the back, appliances, flooring, home decor, and
that's it. And sometimes paint.
Yeah, sometimes paint.
And I used to be the cash office clerk and in charge of the front end. So I had all the registers that I had to make sure was accounted for.
And you counted the money.
And I counted all the money the store made. So I knew what it was like to have a lot of money in my hand. That wasn't mine.
That wasn't yours, yeah.
Yeah. So we were doing that. And then at the same time, we picked up an internship at Univision.
Okay.
Right there in Teaneck.
Teaneck, that's right.
So I was doing promotions.
And I was doing marketing.
Or public relations.
Public relations. Kind of all the same thing. Public relations. And
they hired you both at the same time.
Yeah. Both interns.
All right. So you guys were lucky enough to get a dual internship?
Yes.
All right. Awesome.
Which I loved, but I wanted more because I was like, I understood what I was doing, but I wanted to be like where the cameras were. I want to know what's happening over there in the news desk. I want to see how it's all edited and put together. We were always kind of like those annoying people
asking all the questions. We would sneak into the TV studio and just watch.
And we'd come in sometimes on our days off just with coffee. Anybody need anything? Like,
And this because you were more interested, you wanted to start building into that industry? Is this
we were very curious about how a TV news was put together, you know, how everything,
the packages
and how the sales department worked, how the promotions like we wanted to know every single little thing about how a show is put together.
The ins and outs,
how to roll up cable. You know, there's a way of doing it.
As you could tell, I haven't learned it yet.
Yes, this is not the right way. But we were very curious. And then once our internship ended, a little show called
Nuestra Belleza Latina
was starting off first season. And one of the people at Univision said, hey, you know, you guys are no longer part of Univision. Why don't you audition for this? And at the time, our Spanish
was god awful.
Was terrible. So, and we had the college weight. You know, when you go to college, you always gain like 10 weeks, 10 pounds or whatever.
15, of course, yeah. Yes.
So then we're like, we can't do this. Tiene que hablar español. We have a huge accent and we're kind of chunky and camera does add 10 pounds.
Oh, it does. That's not a myth.
100%. So we're like, well, you know what? We have nothing to lose. Let's just try it.
Yeah.
We tried it and we got in. Yeah. We were shocked ourselves. We're like, are you sure? You're talking about us too? And we made it to Miami.
Yes. We dropped 10 pounds because they told us we had to lose weight.
15 pounds, actually.
15, that's right.
15 in 3 weeks. I don't ever recommend that.
Horrible. Not healthy.
But then we were in Miami for about a week. And then after that, we were eliminated. Of course, we were heartbroken because we wanted to go all the way and get crowned. But it worked to our advantage. It was actually a blessing in disguise because that's when Gordila Flaca called us so that then we could be correspondents
for
the show and then travel to each city of where each girl from that was inside the house were from and talk to their family and get the opinions of people and who they thought was going to win. So
that was one of the best experiences, and it really taught us how to work live on TV. You had to write your own.
I could imagine that.
Yes. You had to write your own stuff. It's the first time we had something in our ear. And then at the camera, so it's like you have different voices, the producers in your ear, but then you're listening to the people in front of you behind the camera, making sure the shots. It's very nerve-wracking the first time, but we got the experience, and really that's the only way that you're going to learn. You have to just throw yourself in there.
Yeah, so very thankful to Univision. And then when all that ended, we had nothing. We were like, what do we do? We had dropped out of school. We didn't have Lowe's anymore. We didn't want to work in a hardware store after traveling the world.
After traveling the world. Hey, aren't you those guys? Those girls from TV?
We actually got that a lot. I was at a hardware store, you know, with my hands all dirty. I look like a tomboy. And they're like, weren't you just on Gordita Flaca like an hour ago? I'm like, yeah.
That was us.
But I got to pay bills. And so this is where we're at.
But, you know, you can't let it get to your head.
Of course.
And we didn't. So we're like, all right, we need to find something. So that's when one of our friends that we met in Univision said, hey, you know what? Why don't you try doing a radio? Promotion is hiring. It's not all lights and glamour like you've been doing, but it's a start. And we figured, well, you know what? It's our way in. If we have to start from the bottom and work our way up, then so be it. So we went from going to, you know, TV and traveling and being put up in hotels to standing in street corners, handing out flyers for the clubs. And it was a rude awakening. It was like, okay, this is how we have to start. You know, everyone has to pay their dues. You have to respect the people that have been there longer and you have to just work your way up. And so we did 7 years of promotion with Univision Radio.
It was a lot of fun.
It was. And kudos to El Pacha, who really took us under his arm and
under his wing,
I'm sorry, and guided us and told us, you know, how to act in certain different demographics of the tri-state. You know, you have your Dominicans, you have your Puerto Ricans, your Cubans, your Mexicans, your Salvadorians. You know, it's the tri-state. It's a melting pot. So you have a variety of different people, but not everybody is the same. And you have to learn quickly how to approach every single, you know, ethnicity.
But it was fun because he would invite us every Saturday to his show and we would just sit there and observe. We would observe how he would take calls, how he would speak to the listeners, how clever you have to be, quick and witty, to throw it right back, to, you know, keep entertaining people. So it was very, I think back at those times and I'm like, wow, we were so lucky that he did that. He didn't have to.
No.
And then Luis Jimenez
comes to New York City.
Which,
comes
if
to
the you radio don't know station. Who Luis Jimenez is, then you are, I don't know. He is pretty much New York radio. He's the Howard Stern of Spanish radio.
Okay. He beat out Howard Stern.
He sure did.
A few times, actually, while he was on FM radio. And we were, of course, we were doing promotions. And then his team, Luis Jimenez's team, kept using us more and more for their events or whatever. They always wanted us around. So then we spoke to Pacha, because since he helped us out first, we felt we have to be loyal to him. Let's get his opinion. Should we go over and just mainly be with the Luis Jimenez show? And that's when Pacha said, they could probably help you out more. You'll get more exposure. Leave. Go. So it was really nice of him.
Your wings and set free. Yeah. And now during this time, are you two committed to the industry together? Like,
always.
Is it something that you guys spoke about before jumping into it?
You know, it's
just... Or you guys looked at each other. You already knew. We know this is the industry we're in.
Yeah.
Okay.
We kind of like, because we were having so much fun and going to the concerts and setting up and then the backstage, you do have a lot of, and that's a lot of work. It was a lot of fun and you got to meet so many great people.
And we never thought that we were never going to go our separate ways. Like, it was always like a
package deal.
An unspoken known. Yeah. Like, Lulu and Lala work together. Like, that's what it is.
But it's not a two-for-one deal, which a lot of people sometimes, you know, growing in this business, some people always try to like, oh, two-for-one. I'm like, no, she has her own bills, and I have my own bills.
So when you have opportunities, sometimes it's like, no, you could call Lala by herself or Lulu by herself. Understood.
Yes. So we did 7 years of Luis Jimenez, another great person that we observed and learned a lot from, and we learned how, you know, to manage a radio show and work with being a co-host and all that. And then that's it. Our time at Univision was over just when we thought we were going to get promoted. We got offered what we didn't think we were going to get offered. And it was then where we're like, I think it's time to go and see what else is out there for us. I mean, it was a scary time in our life because we had nothing to fall back on. But luck was on our side because that same day, CBS...
The same day.
CBS called us saying, hey, sorry about Univision, but we're looking for co-hosts and we want to see you guys. We want to audition you guys for the morning show. So that is very rare for you to go from a Latin market to general market within a day.
Yes, less than 24 hours.
In less than 24 hours. I want to say it was like hours, like maybe 4 hours apart from when we left Univision. I remember I went and bought myself a Michael Kors watch. I'm like, I deserve this.
You deserve.
I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to feel good about myself.
You still we couldn't have his
even.
Watch?
We couldn't
I
even.
I still have the watch. It doesn't work anymore, but I still have it.
That was a big investment for us, by the way.
Oh, I remember. I had my Michael Kors watch. It was, you know, yeah.
So we auditioned for CBS. It was with Ty Loves New York, and we got the job. And, you know, we were nervous as well. We hadn't worked in the general market. We didn't know how they were going to take us, if we were going to be receptive of the people, you know, are they going to be like, who's Lulu and Lala?
Who are these Latin twins?
What's up with those names? But people were very nice, and people really fell in love with us. So we're always grateful for that. Because, yes. You know, New Yorkers could be rough. You know, one day you're in, the next you're out. And we were fully aware of that. But luckily, it went well for us.
Yeah. And then we did 2 years of CBS. And like in radio, most contracts are either 2 to 3 years. That ended, and then we were out of the business for a year.
A year. It was probably the most depressing time of my life because we went from doing all this great, fabulous things to not having nothing. We went through our savings account. We literally had nothing.
And now at this time, are people recognizing you in the street?
Oh my goodness.
Let me tell you a story.
So we had to go file for unemployment.
So we go to the unemployment line.
And this is before you could do it online.
Yeah,
before you could do it online.
Everybody now has it a little easier. They go on their phone, they
exactly.
put their PIN number in.
No, not this time. We actually went, we had to make the line, and immediately people started recognizing us, wanting to take pictures.
And I was so embarrassed.
I don't want to say embarrassed, but I didn't want to say no. I don't like to say no to the fans, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't think they know that we've been let go from the radio. And I'm here standing. I'm just like everybody else. We're just regular human beings.
Of course, yeah. People don't
But they have a different perspective.
Of course, yeah.
So
they've seen you on billboards before. Come on. You
can't
be normal.
At that point,
I just left. I'm like, I can't do this. I remember that like it was yesterday.
So there might be, did they get the photo?
They did get the photo.
So there might be an unemployment line photo of you out there. All right, we have to look for this one.
That was back in 2013.
2013.
Just in case anybody wants to know.
But then we were invited to some charity event, which I don't remember.
His name was Oscar.
And I remember him pretty much putting us on the spot and giving us that pep talk that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. And in front of everyone, you know how charities have like tables and he's like, you girls need to stop feeling sorry for yourselves. What happened to that hustle that you girls used to have when I met you?
Hudson County hustle.
Of course, yeah.
What are you waiting for? Like, it's time to get up out of your asses and go do shit. Forgive my language for cursing. But then I'm like, wow, this guy's really putting us on the spot. But you know what? He's right. So it was those words that lit fire under our ass to get our asses up and like just do it and stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Like, we're not the first people to not have a job. There's plenty of people out there in the same situation. And nobody ever said that this business was going to be a piece of cake and it was going to be a breeze. No, if anything, it gets harder.
Oh, yeah, and it did.
And so at that time we decided, why don't we go back to school? Let's finish our college degree. That way my mom could get off her back.
Yeah, and at this time, how's your mom feeling about, well, is she feeling like she's supportive of this? Is she like, please just get a uniform job or something?
Yeah.
Like
that. Well, here's the thing. Our parents were always supportive of what we wanted to do. But when we were in Univision, we were getting paid minimum wage. You know, at the time it was like $7.30. It would cost us more to get into the city than what we were getting paid. So we weren't even breaking even. We were losing out.
And starving, because if you spent the $7.30 on lunch, then you're not going back home. You're walking to the bridge and crossing it over.
Which we did once, actually.
The GWB?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So then I remember her at one time was like, it's nice that you guys are happy, but you're getting older and like, when are you going to get something that's really going to set you up in life? You know, when are you going to get a real job, basically? And that would bother me so much. I'm like, this is my real job. It's going to pay off at the end. Watch, you'll see. And it did. So the year passes and we get a call from Miami saying, hey, we are interested in you girls. We want you girls as co-hosts. Come audition to Florida
with DJ Laz.
We drive our butts down to Florida. And we auditioned with him. Great guy. But at the time, the boss felt there was too much talent for a morning show. She wanted to give us our own afternoon show.
And we were upset about that.
We were offended.
You're like, excuse me, too much talent?
They were like, well, she wanted to give us our own show. And we were like, no. Why? What did we do to deserve our own show? Like, it wasn't clicking that she was
because you were so excited for the opportunity that you thought you were going to get, and they gave you something totally different.
They gave us actually something better.
Yes.
So she's like, we're giving you your own show. It is your time to shine. But we were so insecure and scared because we've always been a co-host. We've always been led by the main host. Mm-hmm. And now you're telling me we have to run our own show? We don't know what we're doing. Once again, we were just winging it. And she's like, well, I have faith in you guys. You guys are going to start doing afternoon drive in Miami, and it's just going to be you two. So that's what it was. And I give kudos to Jill Strada, who believed in us when we didn't believe in ourselves.
Yeah.
And I learned how to run the boards. I learned how to edit. Lala was a kick-ass when it came to creating ideas and topics for the show. So I did most of the mechanical work, and I did most of the creative work. And together...
It seems like when you were back at Lowe's.
Yeah, exactly.
Together, we figured it out, and it was pretty hard the first year because we were at each other's throats because she thought I was bossing her around, and I thought she was bossing me around, and we weren't really connecting the dots in how, yes, we're sisters, but here at work, we're co-workers, and we have to trust each other in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a learning lesson.
And
there were many
the first
fights.
Time, is that the first time you guys had tension like that, or is this a history of you two?
No, that was the first time that we had tension like that, because we didn't really understand it until we had to live through it. And then DJ Laz also helped us recognize, hey, y'all are fighting for no reason because you guys are both passionate about what you want to do. You're just not really listening to each other. Nobody's trying to outshine anybody. Get it together.
Get it together.
And so we did. And we were nervous. I mean, we had to now conquer a whole new city. Nobody knew who Lulu and Lala was. we didn't want to leave New York, you know, the tri-state.
Now, is Miami familiar to you at this time, or is this the first time you out in Miami?
Miami has always been our second home, okay, but vacation-wise, yeah, of course, you know, yeah, we have family down there because we're half Cuban, but it was never like, it was always vacation.
It was the first time we left the house, and we were living by ourselves. My mom was not happy. We're very old school in our family. You know, you leave your house when you're married. And I'm like, well, job is calling me. Gotta go. Bye. But she understood that and was supportive. And my dad, too. But it was fun.
It was fun while it lasted. You know, we made a lot of great friends. We did conquer the Miami
city.
And
DJ Laz helped us out. He was like Pacha, who took us under his wing and showed us around Miami, the places to go,
the places to avoid.
And then, of course, in radio, contracts end, and they could either renew or not. At the time, though, it worked in our favor because New York was calling us to come back home. Yeah. And New York...
And we missed you at that time.
In radio, you always aspire to be in the number one market when it comes to radio, and that is New York City. LA is two.
So New York is the number one radio market.
New York, number one.
One radio market. So when they called us back, we're like, well, this is a no-brainer.
And when we heard it was KTU, I mean, it's a heritage station. I grew up on that station. And it was part of iHeart, you know, under the umbrella. You know, you got Z there, you got Power, you have Q104, Light FM. I'm like,
I know you guys are old enough. It used to be the new KTU.
The new KTU. Yes, I do remember that. And so we took it. We came back home. It was nice to be back with family and a whole other, that's when we got insecure again. Is New York going to accept us coming back? Are people going to remember us? It's been a while since we've been away. What's going to happen?
And what year is this?
This was in 2016.
Okay.
2016.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we've been at KTU. Then we got another market, Miami, and then another one in Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when the pandemic hit, in order to like save jobs for people locally there, we gave up the markets to help people stay.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
It took a hit in our pocket, but if we can help a family, I would hope somebody would do the same for us.
Exactly.
Of course. So you're saying that another host was able to get a job out there.
Yeah. And
I'm assuming a Latina out there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even
I would imagine. Miami, right? You would think so, right?
Yeah. And so that's how happens. It is. We've been in radio. We love everything we do. You know, it's a lot of work sometimes. Many people think that, oh, you're at the clubs and you're backstage at concerts and you're interviewing all these artists and you're probably on a yacht with Pitbull or whatever. It does have
its... Yes, you do this, but...
It does have its perks, but it is a lot of work, a lot of writing, a lot of time away from your family, and a lot of sleepless nights.
And you have to balance your personal life with
what personal life?
You have to know how to balance your job, your career, and then if you're in a relationship, you have to make sure that that person is secure enough to understand that we're surrounded by men. It is male dominated industry, but that does not mean anything. So it made it difficult sometimes for us, where we had to constantly be, you know, hey, this is not what it is. What you see on social media or what you hear is not,
it's not the truth.
It's not the truth. It's social. It's an app, guys. It's not.
It's an app on a phone. Some people get so involved in it, especially for like these youngsters. Like I feel for them. I'm like, it's just it's perception. It's not reality. Who you think is probably living the best life is probably not as happy as they're making themselves out to be.
And you guys are on the cusp of when technology, so I knew that you guys probably had to dial up AOL internet, or even didn't have internet at home yet. And then we got the AIM, so you know that like now what people look up to on a phone, you're like, that's not real life, you know?
No, it changed because I remember when Twitter came out back in 20...
We were at CBS,
and I was like, what is this blue bird? what I don't understand what's going on here. And then Instagram... Facebook, then Instagram, then Snapchat, then now TikTok. It's a lot, and you have to keep up. You got to move.
Sure, your industry, I'm sure they're telling you, you got to make sure you're on each
platform.
We're
just starting to understand TikTok.
I saw some of your dances.
Which I don't even know. Like, I'm like, how do you, for me, TikTok, I'm like, all right, I got it. You have to always keep up with the times. Otherwise, you know. So we're trying here, trying to manage everything. We don't have a producer. We produce everything. We do everything ourselves. Except for the videos, Carlos, our best friend, he edits all of them.
All right, so you got a little help there. All right.
Yeah. But when it comes to all this, like, kudos to those TikTokers and Facebookers and whatever.
It's another career. It's a lot of work. And then we get a DM from a random person saying, hey, there's an opportunity for you to be on The Amazing Race. Are you in?
This was 2 years ago during Christmas when we were in Puerto Rico.
And we were like, what? Really? Who? You're going to hit me up in the... What a cheesy pickup line. Like, come on now. And they're like, no, this is legit. Here's my number. Call me. I'm one of the producers. We really are interested in you guys being a part of the Emmy. Do you know what the show is? And we were like, of course we know what the show is. It's won so many Emmys. It's amazing. Like, you travel the world. And so they're like, we're going to fly you guys to LA. That way we can screen you. You'll have to audition in front of the creators and the host. And from there, we'll see if you guys make the cut.
And what does trials look like for The Amazing Race?
Basically, you just have to be yourself. They want to see your personality. They want to see how you interact with your partner or your sister, your husband, whoever you're going to race with.
They give you different scenarios, and depending on the answers that you say, you know, could qualify you into the next round or not. But pretty much just be authentic. Just be you.
All right.
Be you.
Don't try too hard either, because you could... Yeah. People feed off of that.
And you guys are used to this because you're on the radio every day live and you got back to your hometown. So I'm sure this audition was a piece of cake for you.
Well, we were nervous, though.
We were nervous.
We don't really know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, with all these reality shows out there, I'm not going to be on one of those reality shows that people are making out. And, like, that's just...
Or love to watch it,
not to be part of it, though.
Right.
So we're not going to see you on, like, Love and Hip Hop one day or
anything? No.
We were called for the Bachelor pad.
Okay.
But we were declined. Like,
no. Love Connection, we declined as well. And so once they said, okay, you guys are in, you're going to be leaving around March, was it?
February.
After football.
After the Super Bowl of 2020. You know, we packed our bags and headed to The Amazing Race. And then, I don't know if you've seen the series, the episodes, but 3 episodes in, they had to stop production because of coronavirus.
Yeah, of course.
We were in London. No, mentira. We were in Scotland. We didn't really know what was going on, because when you're on the race, you're not allowed to have a cell phone. The phones inside your hotel rooms are taken away so that you don't have access to call anybody or call, you know, each team member. And all they have is a TV. And sometimes in a foreign country, there's only like 2 channels that, you know, are in English.
Yeah, I'm sure you avoided the TV altogether.
So, no, we were trying to watch the news and we keep seeing coronavirus. And we're like, Heathrow. They kept saying that the place where most of the coronavirus was coming from was Heathrow Airport. And we're like, we just came from Heathrow Airport. No. Are we do we have the virus now? Are we contaminated? We were so scared. But we wanted to keep racing. But that's when production decided to make the decision of just stopping and sending us all back home, which was very sad, because this season, because of the pandemic, has been very special. We've all connected and bonded so much. And none of us wanted to leave. We were all like, who cares about coronavirus? We're still going to race. It's $1 million. But, you know, thank God for CBS and everybody that was involved in the production and the behind the scenes. They really, really wanted us to be safe and really take into consideration the health of everybody. And so they said, nope, everyone's flying back. And they called us a couple of months afterwards.
19 months later.
Did you think that it was going to continue recording? Like after 12 months, where you're like, all right, probably.
No, like the first 3 months, they would contact us saying, hey, are you guys okay?
They were making sure.
But then after the 3 months, we never heard from them.
Yeah. We figured that's it.
That's like, it. The season's going to be a wash. Everything we recorded is going to end up in some
vault. Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to be aired ever. But then they called us back asking us first if we would be willing to finish the race, if we felt safe, if we had any doubts, if we had any questions, and blah, blah, blah. And we were like, heck yeah, we want to finish. Can we leave tomorrow? But they did a great job keeping us in a bubble. You know, we weren't allowed to take buses or cabs or trains.
Public transportation was not an option. It was all going to be chartered. We were flying in a private jet,
which spoiled us.
Yeah, you do sound spoiled now. I can't complain.
And we were tested every other day. They did keep us in a bubble. We were not allowed to leave our hotel rooms for anything.
We had to now be running with masks, which makes it more difficult.
I could imagine.
We couldn't really hug anyone. You know, if you've seen The Amazing Race, once you make it to like the pit stop or you get a second clue, you get all happy and you want to hug the person. We couldn't do that.
You had to avoid all your affection. Yeah. Wow.
It was different. Times have changed now. Yes. And so what used to be normal is not so normal. And so you just have to adjust and adjust quickly. And so the episodes have been airing every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on CBS.
Awesome.
And we've just been enjoying the ride, seeing everything that we've done. It's reliving it all over again. It's been one of the best experiences we've had. And if anyone's ever interested in racing on Amazing Race, do it. Go for it. I recommend it. Highly recommend it. But I think what we learned was not to doubt ourselves. Throughout our career, we kept
second guessing,
not knowing. And it's like, you have to believe it. It sounds super cheesy and cliche, but it's the truth. You cannot doubt yourself. You have to believe in yourself and just know that you know what you're doing. Okay. And even if you don't know, just keep pushing forward.
It's been a common occurrence on people I've been speaking to on this podcast is being from here. It's just been, you know, one pitfall after the other, but they kept on getting up and moving forward. And, you know, it just eventually you'll get to where you're trying to go.
Yeah. There's going to be lots of trial and tribulations in this business. It's not easy. You have to have a thick skin. People will hurt your feelings. People will backstab you. People will double cross you. They will screw you out of money.
But that's life. Mm-hmm.
And the faster you know that and the faster you get over it, the faster you can move forward with your life and get to the goals that you want.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I'm just so proud that we're from We hope we're representing good on the show.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to have you. I don't know if you know, when I first started HUD Post, we don't have it now. We'll put it back up. But we used to have a Hall of Fame of people that we were proud of.
I remember.
And you guys were up there.
We did. I remember. I was like, oh, my God. We made it.
You know, every time I've seen you guys, whether, you know, you're doing celebrity interviews, you were on radio, Miami, New York, it's just always been happy to see. You know what? They're from North Bergen, and they're representing, and you guys haven't washed out who you were. It's definitely your personality from when I first met you guys.
Yeah, like, I remember one producer at Univision saying, oh, you guys are going to change. You guys are going to change. The business is going to change you. And then we saw him not too long ago, and I'm like, have we changed? We're the same people. And he's like, you're right. I was wrong. I also feel I'm very happy that you're doing this, because sometimes Hudson County and Jersey gets – because New York City is such a big city, and it is the biggest city in the world, and if you make it there, you can make it anywhere. Jersey doesn't get the credit, or like right across the Hudson, we don't really get the credit that we deserve, because a lot of the people from New York that have made it are from Jersey.
Or they live here.
Exactly. And so, you know, we got to represent our little town here.
Of course. And you guys have been doing so great. And, you know, I see you always repping HUD Post. I know you guys, when we did the BLM march 2 years ago in Bergerline, you guys were so, like, instrumental in getting that voice out. So you guys have been awesome and always putting on for the city.
I remember when it was the big flood that happened.
Oh, yes.
We were driving back from the city. And I'm like, put this on HUD Post so people could know that not to go on tunneling because they're going to flood out.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what barista where? Which one?
At Starbucks and Target. When it first, well,
oh, you guys, that's right.
Starbucks, a Target opened in 2006. I think your career started around 2006, 2007. And I used to work with a set of male twins. And every time you guys would come in, they would try to hit the angle like, hey, you know, my brother's a twin.
Oh, I remember. I always thought they were kidding, that they weren't twins.
No, they were twins.
I didn't know that. Oh, our cousin worked at Target, Andy. Do you remember? Well, maybe you had left already. Andy.
No.
Is it Andy?
Cricket.
I don't know. I don't know Andy. No.
Wow.
But yeah, you guys used to come in. I was a barista there. And I remember that's when you said that you were on TV on Gordo y Flaca. So I was like, I don't know Spanish, but I was like, let's find out on the internet.
Oh my God, it's been so long. Right? Yeah. It's all coming back to me now.
Can't believe it.
Good times.
See, so I've been there from the beginning.
Do we look the same?
Of course, yeah. You guys haven't aged a bit.
Makeup.
I'm kidding.
No. I'm here live. I see you guys live.
We do try to sleep as much as we can.
Yeah, that's one thing that I used to take for granted. When I used to work at Lowe's, I remember I was so young. I was 18. I loved to dance, and I always wanted to, you know, sneak into the clubs and dance and use my older sister's ID. And I would go from, like, the club and then break night and then be at Lowe's, and I'd have the huge bags. I mean, I still have them, but they were even bigger. And I'm like, who needs sleep? I'll sleep when I'm dead. Yeah, now it's right. Like, I need my sleep. I need it. I
sleep
make
is
sure.
Very yeah. important. And not so much alcohol. Okay.
And I can imagine that every time you're at an event, there's always alcohol present.
Yeah, there's everything present. We stayed away from that. But, yes. You know, when we were hosting clubs, sometimes we'd have a drink or two. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes drinks were just given and shots. And then, oh, my God, I can't do that anymore. Those days are long gone.
Now, how do you talk about sleep. How do you guys kind of figure out what opportunities that you are going to pursue? Cause I'm sure that your DMs are flooded with so many opportunities, and I'm glad that you responded to mine.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that you have to balance out and say, maybe that's not a good opportunity. Like you said, like the Bachelor the shows, like maybe not.
Yeah. I think you have to know yourself and know, like, to what extreme you're going to put yourself out there, and really know, like, what you want, or at least know what you don't want, to kind of, like, figure out what you're going to take. For HuddPost, for instance, when we got the DM, we loved your page.
And we're like, this is
county.
Fun.
And we're like, county.
We got to do this. I mean, this is where we're from. We have to show love, right?
Because
we want love to be shown to us, so we got to show love back, you know?
Right. And then there are times, because sometimes we do get so many that we don't even see it.
Oh, I can imagine.
Sometimes I'll be home, or when insomnia hits at nighttime, I'm like scrolling and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't see this. I didn't see this either. And then I start answering and I feel bad because it's like 2 months old. Sometimes even
a year. We try to answer back as much as we can, but it's just impossible.
Yeah. And as far as opportunities, you have to be smart about it. I mean, I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil just to get to
the
certain place. I just won't do it. You know, if it's going to bring me negativity and it's not going to be a good image, or the image that we're
going to compromise our morals too, then it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of opportunities that have been given to us where we're like, thank you, but we're not going to do that. We're just not that.
And what would you say is something that you guys are, what a goal of yours, something that, what would be the next step of your career?
I definitely want to go back in TV somehow, whether it's producing behind the scenes, or in front of the scenes, or even both. But I definitely want to look into that. We have been working on something and an idea.
Well, you guys are on TV now, but I know you want to be part of your
own show. Part of, like, our own show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Entertainment. We don't like hard news because it's very depressing and negative.
There's plenty of negativity out
there. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. So that would be nice to do that. Maybe
create an empire like Jennifer Lopez has,
All right.
Have a line of something. But we like to be realistic, so baby steps.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And then maybe one day get married and have a family.
That's interesting that you bring up. So how do you manage a relationship? Well, one, do you ever get someone who's like, I don't care which one, because you both look the same. You get one of those and you're like, oh, that's obnoxious.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We've probably heard every twin dirty joke that exists out there, or pickup line. I find it entertaining. I'm like, please tell me something I haven't heard.
So you don't find it after a while, you're like, oh, I've heard this already.
I mean, we have heard it all, but we don't mind it just because people are curious and they're going to ask. And if I wasn't a twin,
I'd probably be asking the same questions we get asked.
Yes.
Even when we see twins, and we're twins, I'm like, oh my God, look, twins. That's what we look like.
Yeah, of course.
We get excited. Do we like the same type of men? Have we dated the same guy?
No, we have not.
We don't share men.
We don't have the same taste in men either.
We did like the same guy once in high school.
That was high school.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. But dating in the business is hard. Like we said before, you know, you have to sometimes be a little selfish at the beginning with your career.
And
the person that you're with has to understand that and be secure enough with themselves and with you, because if there's no trust, it's not going to work out.
No. And sometimes you do give up a lot of your time for the career. And so the balance of like, I'm not, it's not that I don't care about you or I'm not paying attention to you, but you know, this, there's a fine line in this business. You know, you only have a certain amount of time to do what you need to do, especially for women. You know, there has to be a mutual understanding. If it, you don't have that, yeah, it's just not going to work out, because I understand the men perspective. You know, I get it. But
you're like, I have a career, you know, I'm doing things.
I do have a career. So it's just, it was very hard at the beginning. You got
like, and then to trust someone too. Uh-huh. Are you with me? Because, and we're just radio people, where it's not like we're, you know, J-Lo or Selena Gomez or Rihanna. But to trust someone, it's like, mm-hmm, are you with me? Because we, perhaps you get to hang out with me backstage, yeah, and
for
get
for what they call clout, you know?
You know, VIP acts and stuff. Or is it because you're really interested in, mm-hmm, in me and my heart?
But groupies, you get a lot of groupies, and so you
got the
wonder.
Male, you got the male groupies,
and sometimes the women, like, are you my friend because you're my friend? Are you my friend because I got you free tickets to, you know, see Mary J. Blige or, you know, somebody else? Like,
yeah, talking about that, when you give me my tickets?
No, you know what everyone's talking about now—the Bad Bunny tickets.
We do not have
Bad Bunny tickets. I'm sorry, we cannot help you.
I think we're giving off Bad Bunny tickets at HuffPost. question.
Yeah.
What would you say your family or your close friends, how do they differentiate?
Oh, the differences. Okay.
Like, what is the instant thing that someone says, oh, that's how I know the difference between both of you?
So, we're like an oxymoron. Because we're the same, mm-hmm, but we're different.
Physically.
The same, but different.
Yes. Physically, Lulu has a dimple. I do. I smile, it's on my left.
I, Lala, have like the butt chin, the little cleft on the chin.
Okay.
And if you start noticing, Lala has more of a longer face, whereas I have a more round face. And if we stand up, she's a little bit taller. Yeah. I want to say half an inch taller, and I'm shorter. And
she's always been
more voluptuous on the butt. She's always had a bigger butt
than me. I think it's obvious up here. It's a little different as well.
Got the bigger chest. I got the bigger butt. Let's just call it for what it is.
That's that.
And I think personality, I'm always like on left field.
Okay.
La La Land. That's why
I'm in La La Land. I'm always like, not in like a stupid way, but I sometimes just wander. And that's how I get creative. And that's how ideas come to me.
And then that's where I have to like bring her down out of that cloud that she's living in. And ground her. I'm more of like, let's be organized. This, you know, more structure. And she's more, you know.
For instance, if our older sister needed someone to babysit our nieces, first option would be her. That would be the second option.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, what would you say in about Hudson County? And this probably be one of our last questions. I know you got a flight to Vegas.
Vegas, they told me about.
What do you think from Hudson County? What is something that you've brought with you and everywhere across whatever you've been doing? What is something that stuck with you? And
oh, for sure, the attitude of, this is gonna sound mean, but it's not, the I don't give a fuck attitude. Like, I'm gonna get it done, and that's that. Like that hustle of, I'm doing this. I don't care what anyone says. I'm very stubborn. I'm going to go and I do this. That is what I think we bring with us anywhere we go. When we were in Miami, we had that, I don't want to hear excuses. Let's go. Time is money and you're wasting my time, which means you're wasting my money. I ain't going to have that. But that drive.
I think people in Hudson County are hardworking people.
Yeah,
and definitely. I mean, you see it. You see it anywhere you go, in the restaurants, anywhere. And I think our work ethic shows for it, and that's just what we've taken from Hudson County. That's what I like to think.
I also feel that Hudson County is very family oriented. There's a lot of families here. It's very, you know, you have your Spanish community, all different types of ethnicity, and so because we're so, it's a variety of different people.
It's like one big novela.
You know? And so that's why we're able to adjust no matter what city we're in or no matter what situation we find ourselves. We know how to like bounce off the negativity or bounce off of whatever's happening.
And keep it going.
And keep it going. So Hudson County is always with us. It will always continue.
I'm proud to be part of Hudson County.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed. Some people are like, oh no, I'm from Bergen County. No, yeah. I'm from Hudson County.
And what do you say, North Bergen? They're like, oh, North, like Bergen County. Like,
yes, they say that. I'm like, no. Just because the word Bergen is in there doesn't mean that.
It's Hudson.
Well, I really appreciate you for being on the podcast, and I'm so excited to see what the future of your careers look like. Like you said, I can't wait till you get your show that you said you're going to start producing. I can't wait to see what happens on The Amazing Race. Got our fingers crossed that you win. I know you can't tell me. Maybe offline you'll tell me. No. Sorry, you know, the NDA. No, sorry. They're not going to tell me. And I know you got a flight to Vegas, so yes. I really appreciate you squeezing me in. And
thank you for having us.
Yes, course. We do appreciate you.
Keep doing your thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying. HUD I'm trying post. Here, yeah.
Anything we could do to help, count on us. And yeah. Keep repping that HUD post, getting out of the HUD.